Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, British lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars this evening. I'll be your host, Dave Atwell. I hope everybody is doing well this evening and dealing with the various catastrophic weather patterns that are going on across the nation this week. Hoping everybody is safe out there. So while I do my usual, go outside and light up my cigar and attach my speaker and all that good stuff, I'm going to start passing things around to my most esteemed panel of best buds that hang out with me on Wednesday night. So we're going to start ladies first. Granny Hulkster, talk to me. How you doing?
Well, I'm glad the snow is over. I'm not going to have to leave to go to Little Rock tomorrow. My convention has actually been rescheduled for March 4th through the 7th due to all the wonderful weather that we had here in Arkansas the last several days.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I didn't have to leave. I mean, it was like we had minus 20 below degree temperatures yesterday, and part of that was not wind chill. So we had some very winter storm warnings, and we didn't get a lot of snow. I mean, where I'm at in Springdale, I maybe probably got 5 to 6 inches in my yard, maybe, but Little Rock area where I was supposed to be going, they had anywhere from 10 to 15 inches in spots. So, but I never lost my power, lost my heat, or lost my water. No frozen pipes, so that's a blessing. So I feel for all the people that have had that problem, like down in Texas and everything. So, but I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you aboard. And like I said, good to hear you safe. Good to hear that your husband's returned home from work safely, too. We understand.
Yeah, he just got home after he'd been working nights here the last several nights. And bless his heart, they gave him – I took him to work this morning, but they gave him a county truck so he could go home so I wouldn't have to go out and pick him up tonight. So thank you, Washington County Road Department. Thank you, Brian. I'm going to give my husband's boss a shout-out.
Absolutely, and it's one less person out there on the road. So, I mean, it makes sense, and it's good to see folks use their head, especially those in charge. So kudos to him. Well done. That's how leaders lead right there. So,
that's right.
Tonight is a magical, sparkly night with our next panelist, the Queen of Sparkle. Liz, how are you doing, babe?
I'm doing so good, man. I tell you, COVID wiped my ass out. But, if we're giving out shout-outs to people who deserve it, the one person I think beyond everybody else who deserves a shout-out tonight is my wife. I mean, number one, she dealt with me for 4 weeks while I was quarantined, but also she took care of me for 4 weeks. So I want to give Alora a big shout-out. She deserves every bit of it. And if it wasn't for her, there's no telling where I'd be right now because I certainly wouldn't be as healthy as I am. So I want to give some strong love out to the lady in my life. And then also I want to give some love out to my friends who've kept me calm and sane when I'm losing my mind because I'm having cabin fever for real and having a hard time breathing. You, all my buddies who checked in on me, everybody wanted to send kind words. I appreciate everybody because that was rough. And now I feel like I'm more like myself and I can enjoy things, people, experiences. And now I get to be back on the podcast. I mean, I've missed you guys quite a bit.
Well, we miss having you. I mean, for crying out loud, you were in a different hemisphere there for a little bit. So we didn't have you around, but it's good to hear you're recovering and doing well. And, the hard part's out of your way now. Now it's time to just get better and, move on because your time in the barrel's done. Good to have you on tonight. Very good to hear your voice.
Well, Liz, I got to tell you the bad news. Clearly, you still have COVID symptoms because if you had any taste, you would not have called in here.
Oh, I still don't have taste.
Oh,
I don't have taste to tell you guys, so I guess it's a good thing I'm still here.
It does leave an odor.
So. Well, I mean, I have seen Todd. I have hugged Todd, so I know. Good thing I don't have symptoms right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, speaking of my good brother Todd, I don't know if you're standing outdoors at your house, brother, but the wind is picking up, the clouds are moving in, and I am really a dedicated cigar smoker for standing out in this garbage tonight. How's it over there on your side?
Well, I tell you, the first thing I noticed, aside from the fact that the wind is steady and it's temp's definitely going to drop, because we were blessed yesterday. We finally got, just for a record, we finally got almost coming up on 3 full days without rain, and we needed it. But, man, that wind is coming directly from the east, which I find interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know how sometimes when you're out in the cold and you can see your breath and it just kind of does this lazy mist kind of fog, and then there's other times when you breathe and it just like comes out and dissipates immediately. That's what it's doing right now with me. So, yeah, hopefully it won't get so cold to the point where we're going to have any type of icing or anything, but we're supposed to be getting knee-deep rain for the next 3 days, from what I understand. So that's fine. I mean, my whole backyard is nothing but mud anyway. Might as well just go ahead and shoot the works. So speaking of shooting the works and bad weather, Tim, up there in Indianapolis, tell me it's sunny and 74 up there, buddy.
Oh, it sure is. Oh, yeah, in my dreams. No, we're waiting for another round, I think, of a couple inches coming in tomorrow. I'm done listening to the weather forecast. I don't want to hear it anymore. It, with all the wind gusts and snow drifts, I think I dug about a 2-foot deep path along the sidewalk. And, of course, leave it to the dummy that I am I don't know if I already shared this last week. Of course, I have a snowblower, but do you think it runs right now? No, I wasn't smart enough to figure out the gas-oil mixture, so I'm the moron who's been out hand shoveling everything. But, yeah, it's fun for a couple hours, and then your back starts killing you, and you feel like you're 80 years old, and I'm kind of ready for it to go. So another wave coming in tomorrow, and we'll see what that does to us. Other than that, all peachy over here in Indy.
So we were promised like 7 days of consecutive snow. We got zero snow. I'm going to tell you, as much as you guys are not enjoying the snow, I wish I was having some of that snow. Y'all can distribute it and send some this way. I would greatly appreciate just a dusting, just a little something.
Oh, you guys got a nasty event about to roll in on you in the general area coming in, right?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be ice. It's supposed to be like sleet and then frozen rain. It's not actually supposed to be anything pretty, and it's just that annoying shit that you can't drive on and you can't play in,
yeah.
And it's just cold and nasty. So at least if it was snow, it would be pretty, and you could watch it, take really beautiful photographs, and you can just traipse around in the fresh snow. But no, the ice mess, I mean, that's what we get. We're going to get a bunch of ice and a bunch of annoyance.
Well, see, the snow that we got was a real dry snow, so it was real fluffy. I mean, you couldn't pack it very well, you know, to do anything with it. It was real fluffy. I mean, I saw the neighbor kids across the street throwing it up in the air, you know, and their mom was videotaping them out playing in snow. But ours was a real dry snow. We didn't have that wet snow this time like we normally get. But
that was the same here. I wanted to get out. The kid in me always comes in for a little bit, and I wanted to build a snowman. I couldn't even do that. And my son wanted to have a snowball fight, and it was terrible to make snowballs. So it was kind of like, eh. We did manage to make a homemade hill. We always do this. Again, kind of pathetic on my part, but still fun. We have quite a few steps to go down from our back porch to the yard. So I decided to cover it all with snow for the second year in a row and let the kids sled down it. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, at least you get a little bit out of it.
Well, I'm just going to let y'all know it's a blistery 50 degrees here. I'm sorry. I'm freezing.
Well, it's supposed to be up in the 50s next week here in Arkansas, Velvet, so, you know.
I hear you. And, Tim, I got one thing to say to you. Get off my lawn!
Come on.
damn kids always on my lawn.
Yeah, Walt Kowalski is my spirit animal. That movie never is going to get old. So, with all the introductions in velvet, not to leave you hanging there, my friend. I know you're on the road and everything. I hope you're doing well tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's all good. It's all
outstanding.
Good. It's all good.
Well,
except, you know, I'm going to have to say something to Liz. Liz, you're going to have to fight velvet. You're going to have to fight velvet to have that crown to say Queen of Glitter, honey. If I'm ready to scratch your eyes out any moment.
Ooh, let's do it.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
Oh, Lord, I hear a pay-per-view coming.
I do,
yeah,
too.
I'd
pay-per-view.
Let's sell
we
it.
We can
do
it. We got proceeds.
Oh, no, we're getting proceeds, honey. I'm all about my money. Listen, I am a female when it comes to that. Honey, I need my M-O-N-E-Y, and if you ain't got none, get to stepping.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't have to be buddies. We can pretend we're rivals and then rake all that money in.
Daggum right. And laugh all the way to the bank.
You know it.
I like the way you think. I think we ought to sell it.
Sell tickets for that. Boy, you'd
I'm
make a million.
Oh, my goodness. It would be. Listen, you got to have a couple celebs, you know, just to throw in that zinger. And then, boom, it's sold at that point. They don't care. Oh, did you see that Mike Tyson's going to go be watching this fight? Oh, it's going to be great.
He's going to be
they
aesthetic.
Won't care.
He's going to be so aesthetic.
Right, aesthetic. It's going to be ludicrous, too. But you know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is that will sell because they will forget everything that we're going to do and have done. That will sell.
Mm-hmm.
You get a couple celebs talking about it. Oh, forget it. It's over. We already made the money.
Yeah,
yep.
Already done. And speaking
works.
Of Tyson, it just proves the fact with that exhibition fight he had. I watched the whole thing, and it was actually not that bad of a show. You could tell where it was kind of cobbled together. But, I mean, it looked almost like some old closed-circuit stuff like Wayne's World put on or something.
Yep. But you know what?
They did.
Here's the thing. They were told not to hurt each other. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'd have unleashed Mike Tyson, he'd have killed that guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Even at his age, he and I are the same age. I think I'm 2 months older than Mike Tyson. I'm telling you, 53, I'm telling you, he still got it. Don't let that old man fool you one freaking bit. But because
it's
a legend thing. But it's a legend thing, and they're trying not to get hurt, you know?
Yeah. Mike looked nasty. He's supposed to fight Lennox Lewis coming up here. And Lennox Lewis is not one of my favorite boxers because he kind of pulled a stunt on Vitaly Klitschko years ago. He headbutted Klitschko, and then they suddenly called the fight because Klitschko was beating him. I mean,
hands
down. And he headbutted him and opened up a gash on his eye, and they mysteriously stopped the fight. And Vitaly, everybody knows Vladimir Klitschko. He's the one that's been holding the belt for quite some time up until recently.
Yep.
But his older brother, Vitaly, he was the bad boy. He was the one that was diving Drago into. So the boxing commission, after they called the fight, the boxing commission told Lennox Lewis, you won't fight anybody else until you fight Klitschko again. And he retired. And I was like, now what kind of garbage is that? You know what I mean? To throw in the towel like that. So I hope Mike was in there and threw his rib cage in. Not that I wish anything bad on him, but I wouldn't mind seeing Mike just taking me back to 1987 and putting somebody on the mat in about 30 seconds flat. But part of the best thing of that whole pay-per-view was the Snoop concert, because Snoop comes out and he's burning a balloon.
When they were calling that fight, you could just see this haze of smoke where he had been burning. And one of the announcers said something about, all right, we're going to move it to the next round and enjoying the contact bags we have going here. But Monday Night Football needs to hire Snoop to do play calling. I don't care what nobody says.
Yes.
The guy is absolutely hilarious. Put him on there and just turn him loose.
My favorite thing you said during the fight was, it looks like two uncles at the barbecue fighting each other. I was like, are you, that's my... That was funny. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, he put on a great show. I thought he did excellent. And the darnest thing about it is that he was just, uh-oh, the wind blew my cigar off the deck. This is not good, boys and girls. But the thing about it is that he was being himself, and that's what made it so good. And a few years back, Tyson actually showed up to some MMA stuff, and they let him call a couple fights, and Tyson did a fantastic job. Because he called it like a fan. And, you know, that's what made guys like Harry Caray so wonderful. They called the ball games like a fan and not like some, you know, stuffed ass like Joe Buck.
Hey, now tell me, Joe Buck, if you look at Joe, nobody likes him anyway, but Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman looked like he was on a week-long bender every time you see him. His eyes were all bloodshot and red. And looked like he'd been drinking for a week, man.
Well,
man,
you would be
too
if you worked with Joe Buck.
Yeah,
no,
true.
I just want to choke. Listen, he should just choke him and throw him out of the daggum booth and be like, next, go find somebody.
I cannot stand Joe Buck. I absolutely despise that man.
You know what?
And the thing
his claim to fame is his daddy, and
exactly.
His daddy got him into business. And then he, you know what? They let him only do certain baseball games now because he ruined that for himself with certain teams by saying certain things that he shouldn't have said because he doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, he is the absolute epitome of nepotism, man. Because now his dad, on the other hand, was a legend. But he has nothing. And the only thing he has is lineage. Outside of that?
Yeah, nothing. No charisma,
yeah.
No personality, no nothing. I mean, you're just a stiff board with, you know, somebody pulling
the
string behind your back.
It's like the year that the Royals won the World Series in 2015, and they were playing against San Francisco. Every time Joe Buck turned around, all he was talking about was that San Francisco pitcher. Every word out of his mouth had something to do with that San Francisco pitcher. And just on and on and on and on and on.
See, what you really need is you need to find one of these old geezers that used to do this kind of thing forever and have them, just give them a bottle of scotch, let them drink before the show, and then give them another one when the game starts and sit right next to Joe Buck and go, shut up, you little whippersnapper. I'm going to come over there and take care of my game.
That would have been Harry Caray. He would have been out there in center field drinking beer. And Joe Buck would have ran his mouth in. Ah, you just shut your mouth. Or get Tommy Heinsohn, one of those guys. You know,
oh
Tommy
God.
Was calling the Boston Celtics game.
Oh,
was
I got a kick out of Dennis Miller doing Monday Night Football. I thought Dennis Miller was pretty good. They axed him after about a season.
Well, you know what? Because he tried to do too much, and he should have done like was said, he should have done it as a fan and not trying to make everything into a comedy act or this or that. He did good for a while, but then everything became something else. So, you know, everything was a comparison to something else. I'm like, dude, it's a football game, for God's sake. Hello?
Yeah.
Well, I think that he took what he knew and incorporated it into it. You know, I don't even know what brought the decision on to bring him into it, but I think he took what he was good at and, you know, he was like, well, I've got no choice but to try to mix this in. And you're right. I mean, I think it was a little much, but I thought it was a different twist. I mean, I thought
it was a different
right.
twist back then, yeah.
Yeah.
But the one
yeah.
that's the man right now is Tony Romo. Tony Romo is knocking it out of the park.
You know, I agree.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. I could not stand the man as a quarterback. I could not stand him. But he does
he's
a really
a
good job.
Dude. Yeah.
Yep, I like
I mean,
him.
He really is a likable guy. If you listen to him and all the things that he says, you're like, I really want to hate this guy, but dang, I can't.
You're right.
And you know, a lot of the good announcers, and see another thing, too, that sports has kind of taken a downward turn with is a lot of the guys now, they're not announcers and they're not athletes. They're journalists. And that's the problem.
Right.
That's what got screwed up with Mike and Mike, because you got Golic, who was an athlete, plus he has a certain amount of charisma and presence to himself. And then you have Mike Green, a guy who couldn't catch a cold, running his mouth about athletes. You know what I mean? And so
yeah.
you put Joe Buck in there, and where you have – because are there guys out there who have announced and that's all they ever done? Yes, Cosell. Cosell was excellent. But in the meantime, they put guys in there like Don Meredith, who was getting liquored up through the whole broadcast.
Oh, my God.
They were awesome. Yeah. And Madden, for God's sake. Madden was great. And but some of these guys that they got now are eggheads.
Yeah.
What's an egghead? Egghead is that guy when you mispronounce something or you miss a word and some lyrics as you're singing and he's got to stop and correct you. That's an egghead. And there's a handful of them out there. Yeah, and Joe Buck is one of the first ones that comes to mind. Mike Green is another one. Guys that if you gave them a catcher's mitt and threw a baseball at them any more than maybe about 30 miles an hour, they would not be able to catch it. But yet they get up in the booth and they got all the answers. And it makes them very unlikable. Very unlikable. But
no
yeah, Danny Don.
Well, Don Meredith, I used to like when he sang at the end of the game.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
He'd be drunk and all get up, turn out the lights, the party's over. they'd be looking at him like, oh, here we go.
Here it comes, yeah.
All right, I'm going to be off the mic a minute by getting the high head and talk amongst yourselves. Thank you.
I'm good. Get in safely.
Right.
But yeah, I sincerely hope that they reexamine. And, of course, they won't. Joe Buck will keep showing up because no matter what, I don't care if it's the Olympics or if it's hockey or softball or full contact checkers, he always seems to turn up. And you know, every time I have actually found myself watching football games on ESPN Deportes and listen to some guy speak Spanish so I don't have to listen to damn Joe Buck. That's how bad it gets sometimes.
He's like the Tom Brady. Oh, because Tom Brady, you think he's going to go away, and then the asshole just shows up again.
That's
like,
what I freaking hate. Like, I don't understand how we can continue to let, in a sport that so many people were so the world, they can let this one fool out there who's consistently known for and has admitted to cheating, and yet you still want to say, oh, I respect the sport. I love Tom Brady. You can't respect the sport and support Tom Brady at the same time. It's not possible. It's just not possible.
No.
I don't want to get off track here, but and of course I am biased toward the Colts here in Indy. But one thing that my wife and
hold on here, just before you jump in, I got to do this. I love how Tim says we can get off track. People, when we were in the green room, we had no idea what the heck we were going to talk about. The fact that we stuck this long on announcers is amazing. Tim, put your call back to you.
Well, and we are still. Well, I'm not really off track here, but anyway, I don't know if anyone saw the video, but they showed Tom Brady celebrating, and the man had to be like, he had to be escorted to wherever he was getting to. The dude threw the trophy from one boat to another. I don't know if that was planned. I don't know if it was set up or what, but I would have thought he had gotten his ass handed to him by somebody after that, after those shenanigans. But the one thing that my wife both agreed upon is when Peyton Manning, and I guarantee everyone's not a saint, and I know Peyton's done his fair share of whatever, but he wouldn't have been caught dead doing that garbage. We had one of the classiest quarterbacks, and when we saw Tom Brady stumbling around and, you know, like he was – and he's, like, laughing about it, you know, taking to Twitter or whatever he did afterwards. It's like, man, you look like an idiot out there. You're supposed to be a role model. Kids look up to you. And I get it. We all want to party and stuff. But, man, the dude was beyond trashed. He was literally – he had to be helped to wherever he was going. And I thought, dude, you need to just go away.
Yeah, there was no doubt he was destroyed. He was And to play devil's advocate on this, if I've got 7 Super Bowls, I'd probably do the same thing. Not to say that, who do you have the answer to at that point? But, yeah, Brady's an interesting he's an interesting character. And what's going to be even more interesting about Tom Brady is what he does in the afterlife. Because the nifty little thing about Tom Brady is he makes, God, like an eighth of what his wife makes. So
right?
When it comes down to finances, he's not slinging the cash like Jizzy is. So if the thought of him going into the booth, because the guy can speak and he's a good-looking dude. So, I mean, I'm getting ready to hit my Robert De Niro Braging Bull. What do you mean he's good-looking? No, you said he looked good. What do you mean by that? Now you said it, so tell me what you're talking about. But Brady's, you know, he's a good-looking guy. Now, charisma-wise, he doesn't have the charisma that, say, a Peyton Manning does. But he's got all what it takes. He can speak. He can form sentences, which is a lot more than a lot of these guys they've got nowadays at this point. So it'll be interesting to see what he does when he hangs it up, if he just kind of goes kind of like Favre has kind of not necessarily gone out of sight, but pretty much just, you know, poofed. And same with Drew Brees. Drew Brees being the other end of that spectrum, he's such a class act. And I don't know if you guys read the story or not, how there's a guy who was showing up in a New Orleans church every morning and was kind of dressed, you know, sunglasses and the whole, you know, Avengers attire. And come to find out, it was Drew Brees. And he just wanted to get to the church in one piece and pray every morning and not be, you know, mobbed or anything in New Orleans, but, you know, another good man, well-spoken, charismatic, good role model. It'd be interesting to see what he does afterwards. But, yeah, Brady's an interesting case. I mean, he doesn't have to answer to anybody at this point. He's kind of proven his point. He went to a historically knucklehead team and took them straight to the Super Bowl. And in the meantime, the New England Patriots didn't even play 500 ball. So, you know, quite possibly the argument has been settled already.
You know, the funny thing is, New England got the quarterback they wanted out of the deal, the one that cost the coach his job last year. And how did the Panthers do this last year?
Yeah, ain't that true? Yep. Well, Cam's another
just
one. Yeah, he said something today about he's bought outfits that he's only worn once and never worn again. And, you know, and I'm not going to take the off-ramp to the cancel culture speech, but, you know, it's kind of strange right now where people are getting called out for their being a little too decadent for him to say something like that. But, yeah, New England got exactly what they asked for. I mean, they went out there and got them, and they said, hey, you know, we've got this. Well, obviously they didn't. And I wouldn't be so certain, Julian Edelman, I wouldn't be so certain that he was nursing his way back to health so he could come to Florida. Because I think his contract was. And as long as Brady has a line that's going to protect him, I think he keeps playing, to be honest with you. Now, if he starts getting ribs busted like Drew Brees, he'll probably start looking at the door.
Would you blame him?
No, hell no. I mean, I wouldn't. But, yeah, it'll be, you know, because you don't know if Brady can do commercials because he doesn't have that, like I said, he can speak, he's a good-looking guy, but he doesn't have that Peyton Manning quality to him. And
you think he's a good-looking dude? I mean, he's got, like, this dumb look about him.
Well, he does get that
bingo.
Yeah, he does
bingo.
Get that busted look on his face from time to time.
It looks like he's been hit 1-2 times in the head with a frying pan by his wife.
I just don't picture him doing, you know how like Brett Favre, you always see Brett Favre like plowing a field or chopping wood by hand. I don't see Tom Brady doing that. So him doing any type of you know, outdoors kind of commercials, or what was it, Wrangler, that Favre used to do commercials for. I don't picture that. And I don't see him doing the funny stuff like Peyton Manning does. And unfortunately for Eli falls into the same category because all the wit genetics was spent on Peyton. Eli just got... He's got no personality. God bless the guy.
Eli's a dog. Looks like he's a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
Poor Eli.
But, yeah.
He does have 2 Super Bowl wins, and his brother doesn't.
Yes, he does.
That is.
Peyton's got 2 rings.
He's also the reason why...
They both have 2 rings.
Yeah.
Oh, boo. They both have 2. That's boo. Oh, well.
Yeah. Peyton got 1 with the Colts, and then he got 1 with the Broncos.
Yep.
Let's
that's
go,
right.
Broncos.
Because that was the year
save
when
a
they said
save a horse, ride a cowboy.
I'm going to say of all Colts, it'll be Broncos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they've got some T-shirts that say that. That saying is everywhere. All Colts grow up to be Broncos or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Look, I've been
that's
a Broncos
wrong.
Fan since I...
That's funny. That's funny. I'm
going to throw it out there.
Now, I'm going to tell you...
Well, I've been a Chiefs fan as long as I can remember. I mean, I've always been and will always be a Chiefs fan no matter what, so...
Been a that's Vikings true. Fan since 1972.
Yeah,
that's
I like fans who are not just fans for the winning. Like, I don't like the... You know, I'm a fan of so-and-so because they're winning this season. Like, no, if you're a fan, you're a fan. And in my opinion, I'm a fan, a Broncos fan. So, fair-weather fans, as they call them.
Nope.
No, I don't either.
Nope.
Or those when do they call the bandwagon fans, you know. They're on your bandwagon when you're winning, but as soon as you start, it's kind of like when the Chiefs played the game against the Chargers. They had already wrapped up the division. They had already wrapped up the number one seed. They had home field advantage, but yet there were some people that was very upset because they were letting their starters rest that last game, and they ended up losing the game. Well, it wasn't like they had to win that game. They'd already done what they were supposed to do. And, you know, you needed to let your starters rest, you know, for the Super Bowl. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Kansas City, we didn't win the Super Bowl, you know, like we did last season.
You didn't get off the bus.
But you know what? But we still made it to the Super Bowl, though, 2 years in a row. I mean, Kansas City had a lot of things going against them. And, I mean, I'm not a sore loser. I even congratulated, you know, the Buccaneers on Facebook for all my friends that are Buccaneer fans. Congratulations, you all did it, you know. But no matter win or lose, I will always support my Chiefs, you know. I mean, Andy Reid's son, his situation, I'm sure that was weighing heavy on Andy Reid's mind, you know. And I did hear where the little girl finally did woke up. She's no longer in the coma. The little girl that was injured in that car accident, she is awake, and I guess she's doing okay. I don't know. I haven't heard much more, but, you know, it was a sad situation, you know. But life goes on, and we've got Patrick Mahomes for 10 years, and I'm sure Kansas City will be back in the Super Bowl again at some point in time.
Yeah, they've got a lot going for them. I mean, they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. Speaking of the fan thing, now I'll admit, whenever the Saints come on, I always watch the Saints game. Not because I'm a Saints fan. I'm a Drew Brees fan. When Drew Brees retires, I no longer care about the Saints. So, you know, it's where people screw up, though, and take, for instance, like the I don't know, you guys on Facebook saw the sarcastic little post I put about Tom Brady fans on Facebook with the Ted and the rain gear. But if you've seen Ted 2, you understand the joke. Where people screw up is these people who are New England fans who have lived in Albuquerque their entire life and are New England fans. And now that Brady is playing in Tampa Bay, their whole house is painted in silver and the orange and everything. That's where you screw up. There's nothing wrong. Take Prince like Favre. I was a big Favre guy, too, because he's a man's man. I mean, you got to like this guy. He's just, you know, he doesn't shave. He wears blue jeans to weddings, you know. But when he played for Green Bay, I wasn't necessarily a Green Bay fan by any stretch. But
his daughter comes to the college, Charleston, gets pregnant as a freshman. Yeah, it's all good.
Hey, it happens to the best of them.
It's a matter of time before Bella kicked in there. A matter of time.
Wait. I missed something. I'm not really sure what we're complaining about here.
No, he said he liked Brett Favre. He said he's a man's man, and it's not. His daughter should have learned something about that, because when she came to the College of Charleston in South Carolina, where I live, she got pregnant in the first semester of her being at school.
So?
Yeah, it didn't take her long.
What difference does that make? I don't know. If she got pregnant, she's going to deal with it.
Well, you know, he sent pictures of the captain to a reporter, you know.
I just know
how Velvet feels about the Packers. I'm assuming he's probably got the same feelings toward Brett Favre, so I knew it was a matter of time before he kicked something in.
And even when Favre went to Minnesota, I pulled for him. Now,
there you go.
But, yeah, I'm a diehard Redskins fan, so if there's one guy that I wish would get into announcing or even running for president is John Riggins. John Riggins would set the world straight about 20 minutes flat. The Diesel was awesome when he played. He was awesome when he retired. He's the same guy who patted the leg of Sandra Day O'Connor and said, "Loosen up, babe." How can you go wrong with a guy like that? So he does a YouTube thing where he does his outdoor stuff. That's pretty cool. But I'm hoping the Skins come around this year. We're still up in the air with our quarterback situation. And, you know, Alex Smith, God bless the guy. I mean, here's a guy who should have a peg leg for what he went through. I mean, there was a chance that he was going to lose his leg. It was broken so bad. And not only did he, you know, keep his leg, but for crying out loud, the guy comes back and starts an NFL game again. So I just don't know how much he has left in the tank, unfortunately. And
you talk about Drew Brees and Brett Favre. I'll tell you, you know, you're really guilty of having a man crush when same thing happened with me and Peyton Manning because, and you know, I've been a Colts fan since I've been alive. They moved here when I was like four. But you know, there was really not much to cheer about and they'd have, every once in a while, they'd have a season where they get kind of far. They were so bad, and Indianapolis wasn't really a football town at the time. So they weren't on TV. If you wanted to hear a game, you had to turn on the radio. And so it finally got to
real quick, Velvet needs back in.
Carry
on.
Go.
Right on.
I'll keep talking. And so – you know, well, the time that we got Peyton Manning here, he's the one who really revived this town. And he got us, you know, and it was like, it was when you cheered the Colts on, and I'm sure other people can relate with their teams. I'm sure there's been that one quarterback or maybe, a couple of them or a handful of them. But he was that one guy that it was when we were watching the Colts, we wanted the Colts to do good, obviously, because we were Colts fans. But I wanted Peyton to do good. I was cheering him on. I felt like he was – you know, a part of it. You know, I felt like we were part of the same family. You know, you really wanted him to do well because you're tired of bad mouth. Oh, he can't get that. He can't get the monkey off his back. He can't beat Tom Brady. You know, so you were just cheering him on. And when he left, it wasn't really so much that you were afraid that the Colts not doing well, but it was, you know, I mean, it was like, man, what is this? What is it going to be like cheering for the Colts without having Manning? He's the one who came here and just built this. I mean, he turned our town into a football town, and we've remained that way. But when he went on to play for Denver, I continued to cheer for him, and it was kind of like I cheered both teams on. I was obviously a Colts fan, but I wanted him to win with Denver, and I didn't have any against Denver anyway. I've kind of always liked Denver. And so, you know, then they played each other, and all of a sudden I'm like a teenage girl, you know, struggling with what clothes to wear out of the closet, you know, something like that. It was weird when they played, and especially watching them get sacked. It was just brutal. We actually beat
You're trying not to laugh.
But it was nuts.
Came out the closet? When did that happen? What year was that?
Good Velvet. But no, yeah, that was crazy times having Manning over there and rooting for him. But I'm glad he got his second ring. Glad he got that ring with Denver.
Yeah, Manning's a good guy.
It's kind of funny. One of my friends from the Moose Lodge, I have a Travis Kelce jersey, but I've been wanting to get a Patrick Mahomes jersey too because I like Patrick Mahomes just as much as I do Travis Kelce. And one of my friends from the Moose Lodge says, "You get a Patrick Mahomes jersey, I'm going to call Travis and tell him you're cheating on him." I mean, I like them both. You know, I love Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. And I tell you, he is one of the most humble guys I have seen. I mean, him and his girlfriend, Brittany, I mean, I read in an article where they were up in Kansas City at a pizza place. And everybody, you know, left him alone. And nobody bothered him. And he stood up and he got ready to leave. He says, "That's what I love about this town. That's what I love about Kansas City. Y'all are so gracious and so kind and, you know, let us enjoy our meal, you know, peace and quiet." He paid for everybody's ticket that was eaten in the pizza joint that night.
Yeah, that's good.
And
news.
He does a lot for the community up there too, in Kansas City. I mean, he does a lot for the community. But it's so funny. I listen to these sports announcers. They call him Pat, and his mother gets so mad. His name is Patrick. And I remember there was one sports guy, and he was calling Pat Mahomes, and Boomer O'Sides and says, What did you call him? Oh, I'm sorry. His name is Patrick. Sorry, Mama Mahomes. I didn't mean to make you mad." <You know? laughs> That's what I do with my son. My son will tease me. He'll say, "Oh, Pat Mahomes." I say, "His name is Patrick." Get it right. His name is Patrick.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting off season to see where a lot of these guys land, because there's an awful lot of ifs out there right now. And like Breeze, is he going to go ahead? I still don't think Breeze is retiring. I don't think he goes out like that.
He won't. He's not.
Yeah. Just don't do it. I can tell you that Phillip Rivers is definitely done. Andrew Luck, there was a lot of scuttlebutt about him coming back. I just don't see that happening. I think Cam is done, or at least ways he's done.
Yes.
Unless he's picked up by, like the Jets or one of these type teams. I don't think Jared Goff throws I don't think he completes a snap for the Lions. I think the Lions dump him off on another team, and they trade him for draft
picks. Please not my team. Please not my team.
Yeah, so, repeating what I said earlier, I'm a Skins fan.
I'll take Buck Fumble for $500 and a case of beer.
And
I decided
a fruit
to go try out I'm going to try out to be a field goal kicker for Indianapolis, because I sure can't do any worse than what they got right now.
That's funny.
Indianapolis had Vinatieri, and Vinatieri did one of the most epic things. He had gotten liquored up. What was it when whoever replaced him in New England? Was it Gaskowski or whatever his name was?
Yep.
And he missed that field goal. And Vinatieri got on ESPN radio and called in, and he was liquored up. And he's going, "I kick for those guys, and I never choked like that. For God's sake, I was always spot on, and they didn't want me anymore, so the hell with it. I took my talents to Indianapolis, and, I'll kick field goals for them." And then the following year in the playoffs, he shanked that field goal, and like,
ouch.
Yeah, what I meant was, get little Finkel Einhorn going on that one.
Indianapolis has a history of kickers getting liquored up and then doing something stupid. If you can remember going way back, Vanderjack got all liquored up and, I don't know. That was Peyton's words, is that he got liquored up and got on TV. And he started bad-mouthing the spirit of the team, and said they're just kind of, they don't really seem to be that into it. So he goes on TV and says that, and I think it was later on, I don't know if it was that year or not, he shanked that terrible kick. I believe it was playing the Steelers, and I think it was a playoff game too. But he got a lot of ridicule after that one.
That's just karma sometimes. It's. And I've always been interested in these guys who call out their team publicly. We've all had that moment, being at the workplace, or, playing sports or whatever, or even at the house with the family, where we've just walked in and said, guys, what's going on, man? Everybody's in a funk here. I can't get nobody to pick nothing up. Damn, trash is overflowing. Can somebody pick their shoes up off the floor? And you just kind of have that little, damn, I'm disappointed with you guys. We got better. We're better than this kind of talk. But then you don't go to the damn Daily News and go, "Hey, my family ain't worth a shit." You know what I mean? So it's kind of interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall when those guys do that, especially on, when it goes on to the, you do it locally, it's one thing. But, of course, these days, nothing's local, Once you say something, it goes global immediately.
Yeah, because all these knuckleheads get on social media and start posting crap. It's like, dude, they need to have somebody just teach these kids some etiquette and, get the hell off social media. Stop blowing this crap up because you're just making an ass of yourself. It happens every year.
And there's times to say something, and there's times not to say something. It's It's that old classic, you know, you go to
when
somebody's
is that?
Funeral. Yeah, exactly. Can somebody please send me an email when I'm not supposed to say something nice? You got somebody that died of lung cancer, and you always got that one guy standing behind the beside the casket going, well, you know, we told him to quit smoking. Okay, we realize that, but now's not the time.
No, what it is, they say, yeah, we told him to stop smoking as he lights up a Marlboro. Yep, I ain't quit smoking yet.
Yeah, that's a politician's job. That tell us to do something and turn around and do the exact opposite. But, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting season, or a very interesting off season, and hopefully this COVID stuff will be, on the backside of it. You know, one day, and that's the problem with the whole COVID thing, we can't get a straight answer out of nobody. Fauci today says, oh, man, everything's going fantastic. It'll be cleared up by tomorrow. And then the next day he's on TV going, oh, man, we're all going to die. So we don't really know, but
oh, we'll circle back to that.
Yeah, we'll circle back to it. Hopefully all this will be behind us and we'll be able to actually have, you know, attendance and fans in the crowd and everything else like we're used to. Because I'll be honest with you, spring training and baseball's right around the corner. And I am not looking forward to somebody telling me I can't watch some Pelican baseball this year.
Well, guess what? I'm going down to see the Twins and the O's play in spring training. So I already got tickets, and if they tell me, they better give me back all that money.
Yeah, I agree.
When does spring start? Has it already started?
This Ooh. Week.
Yeah, I think so. I think pitchers and catchers.
It's already.
I'm ready for some baseball because hockey's another one that if you don't have the fans present, it kind of takes away from the game a little bit. So I haven't watched
yeah,
that
does.
Much hockey. And that and when it's fragmented, and that's something that's gone on with college basketball this year is it's not fair to the team. It's not fair to the organization. It's not fair to the fans. When you have a team, and how do I want to put this? If you have a team that's 13-1, but then you have another team that's 22-5, who's the better team? So mathematically speaking, on paper, the 13-1 team would be up top just because of percentages. But on the mean, you know, in the meantime, though, that 22-5 team has played an awful lot more ball, you know, at a better, you know, because you have a chance of losing every time you play. So when you have teams that are sitting out, and to be honest with you, if you did fantasy football this past year, it was a disaster. Trying to put together a roster, and then, you know, 20 minutes before game time, somebody's on COVID protocol and you don't even know about it. It just took away a lot from the game.
Oh, no. So, the basketball one's worse. What are you talking about? My kids suck. They're big in the NBA, and I don't watch that crap. But I got suckered into playing that NBA fantasy. Let me tell you something. Me and this other dude are in the bottom of the barrel. Why? Half my guys are out on COVID protocol or out by injuries. Last week I had, out of 14 players I had on my league, only three were playing.
Yeah.
So needless to say,
Todd
I'm 1-7.
Todd organized, Todd, how long we do fantasy basketball? A couple of years there we did it. And, I mean, the pain in the neck about basketball fantasy is, and Kobe was one of the worst ones for it, God rest his soul, he would do a shoot around and he'd just walk up to the coach and goes, I don't feel like playing tonight. And here you are. You're like, oh, yeah, I got Kobe starting tonight. He's in perfect health and he just decided he didn't want to play. Next thing
no,
you know,
you don't have him.
Yeah, you got the big red zero on your fantasy thing and you're like, well, how the hell happened to Kobe? So when you look it up, it says Kobe decided to scratch himself tonight. And I said, yeah, he is scratching himself, all right. And
yeah, on the end of the bench.
Yeah, fantasy basketball, if you're not looking at that every 5-10 minutes, you're not going to be successful in it because it's just a – and those guys go out for bad thumbs. You know, my pinky finger doesn't feel right. I'm out. And
yeah,
just,
I'm out. So I'll sit on the end of the bench making $210,000 for this game.
Yeah, I pretty much gave up on the NBA. I hate like crazy to be that because I enjoy my athletics. I enjoy, you know, watching it, keeping up with it. But all the guys that I like, you know, the Chauncey Billups and Ray Allens and all those guys, you know, they're not playing anymore. And there's really not any players that I attach myself to these days. And I just – that and, again, not to get sidetracked, but the agenda-based stuff – I get along with people way too easy to have an agenda shoved down my throat. And I just I watch athletics because I don't want to watch the news. I'm not going to watch a ball game and get the news out of it. You know what I mean? So that's done its part about moving me away from it too. So just one of those things, but we shall see. Now, are they going to have the Olympics this year? Did they went ahead and postponed the Olympics, did they not?
I had heard that they did. No, no. But...
Of course, nobody gives a shit about the Olympics anyway. Let's face it.
Well, see, we were supposed to have an exhibition game with the Kansas City Royals and the Northwest Arkansas Naturals in March here at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. And they've already either canceled it or postponed it because, you know, still because of the COVID thing. And, you know, last season the Naturals didn't even get to have any baseball games, and that was their first season since they had built the ballpark that they didn't get to have a season. And I don't even know if we're even going to get to watch baseball this season or not again. I mean, I love watching the Naturals play, and I know we talked about this last week, you know, on the show that – AA affiliated ball clubs, you know, there's not a bad seat in the house. I mean, you know, the seats are pretty reasonably priced. I love my Northwest Arkansas Naturals, and you know, I was looking forward to seeing that exhibition game, but they say now, they sent out an email about a week or so ago that right now it's not going to happen, so I don't know if they're going to do it later on or if they've just kind of scrapped the whole idea again and just not going to do it. I don't know. So
yeah. You know, the part that I don't understand about baseball, especially on the minor league side with them calling games or calling seasons like that, is the minor league the minor league parks are not so densely, you know, when you go to a major league park, it is. I mean, it is bumping the whole way. I mean, you're shoulder to shoulder with people, you know, the whole time you're there. But minor league ball games, by and large, have the capacity to seat 500 to 7,500 people, okay? And normally they put 1,200 in the seats every night. So it's an outdoor venue, and you could space the seating out for the social distancing thing. And when it comes down to baseball in itself, the gameplay, they're pretty much isolated too. Unlike basketball, unlike hockey, unlike football, because that's the interesting thing I found about football is that they're spacing the fans out, but the players are all concentrated. Those players are human too. They've got just as much of a risk of catching this stuff as anybody else does. And, you know, for those of us who have played those sports, When you play football or hockey or basketball in particular, right off the top of my head, breathing on one another is the least of your worries. I mean, you get blood, you get sweat, you get dirt, you get spit, you get whatever all over you when you're playing. Baseball, on the other hand, there's not a whole lot everybody's pretty much isolated, save the home plate when you have the batter, the catcher, and the umpire. And even then, on TV, they look concentrated, but if you were to actually look at the home plate mechanics, there's a fair amount of distance between all three individuals, all right? So if they have to wear masks in the dugout, okay. But again, they're still outside. They're outdoors, all right? So here's my gripe about all this is that they tell these minor league ball players that they can't play this season because of COVID, but they can go shop in Walmart where they easily have 1,200 people shoved into that big box any given moment of the day. And I would dare say if I was going to catch some type of communicable disease, it'd be easier to catch it in a Walmart than a minor league ballpark. So
very true.
Yeah. That's my scratch with that. And that's where, you know, that's where my argument with COVID's been, you know, because a lot of us now, you know, have been through the barrel. I mean, Liz, for crying out loud, she just got, you know, done going through it and everything. And I'm certain she doesn't want another round with it. But on the flip side, we all understand the logistics behind it, but it just doesn't make sense sometimes how they, you know, if you don't want to put 50,000 people in an arena, I understand that. But in an outdoor baseball game, when you're looking at 1,200, 1,500 people, and limit the tickets, for God's sake. If it means that much, say, okay, we're only going to sell, you know, 2,000 of the usual 5,000 tickets. And but still let them play. For God's sake, let them play. These guys, and they've been playing baseball since they were kids, and now here they are, minor league ball players. They're finally getting, you know, that chance, and we're letting this kind of, you know, just seems kind of strange with baseball in particular. That's just my two cents on it. But.
Facing and reading Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, we just, you know, started going from COVID and some of that other stuff, and I was like, yeah, whatever, you know. I've pretty much, hey, I'll be honest. No,
Todd, I'm going to use that in the next meeting that you run. The next time you run one of those Tuesday meetings, I'm going to, when you call for McTiffs, I'm going to say, I don't know, I was spacing looking at Facebook.
You know, it's not like I'm on the clock here. I mean, just saying. I mean, kind of, sort of. We're in our hour and a half show or whatever. But, yeah, you know. Hey, look, I could have made some stuff up, but it's actually funnier telling the truth.
Yeah, you're a brave
man.
You're
not a politician,
though. You know, a lot of it, you guys, we were running through the pro sports and all that, and I just kind of tune that stuff out because watch very little of that kind of stuff. Although I will say there were some people that were particular, and this is going back a bit in the convo. This will tell you where I was last really paying any level of attention. They might have been fans of a particular athlete, and so they followed that athlete's career, and it kind of felt like they were swapping teams. Probably not. They were probably a fan of the athlete. You know, that stuff happens. But there's there. I mean, one of the only things I really know about the NFL this last year is one of the few guys I actually liked in sports. He got snubbed for the Hall of Fame, and that's I'm drawing a blank on the damn name. The longtime Bruce Matthews. Not Bruce, the other one. Because Bruce made it in. Bruce was a brother lineman. The other Matthews that played for the Browns forever.
Clay
and
Matthews.
He's got, yeah, Clay. And you're talking an old school, original, one of the early Iron Man type players that just grinder, biggest, nope, fastest, nope, strongest, nope, but as savvy as all get out and a level of intensity. But, you know,
just a little trivia fact for Todd, just a little trivia fact for you. Old man Clay because there's three Clays. There's Clay Senior, Clay the Second, which played for the Browns, and then Clay that played. The third was the one that played for the Packers.
Right.
When Clay the Third was goofing off in college, Granddaddy made him come to Charleston, and they opened a couple businesses here. Goofed off. That's where I got my Bruce and Clay Matthews autograph pictures from. Because Clay the Third was being a jerk. They opened a place called Twin River Lanes. It's a bowling alley. Well, old Clay Matthews was sitting behind the bar. He was probably getting ready to go in the NFL, you know. And he was just mouthing off to everybody and this and that. And I knew who he was. And I said, you know what? I said, if you were smart, you wouldn't mouth off to people, being that you're getting ready to go into the NFL. You could get hurt on the street. You might want to chill out with that. So left to go bowl. We finished bowling. He followed us out to the parking lot and talked about he was going to kick all of our butts. I said, first of all, dude, you don't know what anybody here is carrying, so you might want to chill with that. And so Granddaddy came, was pulling up, and goes, what's going on? And Clay lied and said something. Well, come to find out, old man, Granddaddy liked my wife because he met her at one of their school auctions, and he donated a charitable size of money to the school she works at, which she still works at. This is her 22nd year. His family still sends a check every couple of years to the school.
Okay.
So, but yeah, little Clay, a little big for his britches. So I was happy to see when he got let go of the Packers. I was like, oh, well, there goes your career. All right, I digress.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time injured. But, I mean, so you look at the genetics of that. That's one of those sports families, that long row of genetics.
Oh, absolutely. I don't doubt that for a bit that they all couldn't play. It's just that sometimes because of the lineage from, you know, grandfather to father, now to you, and now it's your turn to go in. I mean, that's a big road to toe when you're a youngster to follow the greats in you know, your uncle, your dad, and your grandfather all played in the NFL. But, you know, you just need to be humble and not a jerk. But, okay, back to y'all.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, because he kind of had a sour exit from Green Bay, if I remember correctly. And then he went somewhere and played a year and didn't make it or something to that effect. But
he played for the Rams after that, and I don't know where he went after that, if they let him go or something, but I don't think he's playing anymore, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think he is either. But he could play back in the day now when he was with Green Bay. You know, like that level of intensity and all that, you know, he definitely had it.
Well, absolutely. I'm not taking that away from him.
He was just a putt off the field.
Off the field, he was just a complete. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Shut your hole.
Yeah.
It's one of those guys. It's the guy you go to the bar with that you know, oh, crap, we brought this guy with us. He's either A, going to piss off a chick, or he's going to get in a fight with somebody, and you're not going to know about it until he gets his butt kicked in the parking lot. Then you got to pick up what's left of him and take it home.
Yeah, I have a particular friend who had a bad habit of doing that, and one night he came up to me and said, hey, you see them jarheads over there? They want to kick our ass. I says, no, they want to kick your ass. I'm over here minding my own business.
So you go right? You go handle your business, buddy.
He was expecting the 7 or 8 of us to get up and go mop the floor with these gentlemen, and we're like, no. We're good drinking our beer and enjoying the strippers. You go on ahead and fight those guys outside. We'll be here waiting on you.
Right. I'll be like, look, I'm enjoying a beer. I pick the beer up. I put it to my mouth. I put the beer down. That's the extent of what I'm doing here. So, no, I'm a little busy.
Just let it be. So we got about 20 minutes left. So with all that being said, we're going to break off the sports talk. And what I'd like to do is, since we got the crowd together tonight, I kind of like to go around and just see what everybody's got going on. And so, you know, let us know how things are going. And if you've got any special business going on you want to promote or anything, feel free to bark it out. And it'll give us 20 minutes worth of plug time and finish off on a good note. So anybody want to jump right on in there? Liz, are you still out there, darling? Oh, we might have lost Sparkle. Oh, gosh, we lost Sparkle. That's not good.
Oh, no bueno. And I was muted. Yeah, I just got an IM. She's out there. And I'm – let me do some, maybe some clarification. This will be quicker than I am. And I'm tracking the – there's a justified reasons she's going ahead and fail it, so we'll leave it at that. Yeah, and just for the record, tracking means I'm following you. Just to answer her question, hopefully she's still listening.
So you're freaking tracking?
You're out there throwing a discus or a shot put or something, you're tracking?
Something like
that. Yeah. But she is okay, correct?
Yes.
Ah, okay, good,
yep,
good, good.
Yep.
Did she leave because it was my big mouth? Was it Velvet's fault? I'm going to cry.
Start crying.
Ah, shut up, you. Why, I oughta. Hey, knucklehead, get over here.
So, Granny Holster, give us some good news. What's going on with you?
Well, I've got something funny to share with you guys that happened last night. You know, sometimes I call in to Brady's show, you know, on Tuesday nights, and Ray Bogus was on, and he says, I have a legitimate question to ask Granny. So, and Brady's like, uh-oh, you know. So the conversation proceeds and it starts going. And you know, they've been trying to turn me heel for how long, Todd? I know sometimes you call into Brady's show, you know, and everything. Well, Ray Bogus told me that if I would wear a NWO shirt or a New Jack shirt for one wrestling show and turn heel for one wrestling show, that he would give me $100 to the favorite charity of my choice.
Hawkster was in WO.
Well,
NWO.
You know, yeah, I know. But I told Ray, I said, I got to stop and think about this. Because number one, if I did that, that would break a lot of little kids' hearts. And Granny loves her little kids at wrestling shows. And I don't want to break any of my little kids.
But it would help Velvet so much if you donated that $100 to Velvet. It would be great. So turn heel, please.
Well, I told Ray that I was going to have to think. And of course, Stro, he's like, and I forget the person's name he mentioned, but he says, just do it, Granny. Just do it. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I mean, this is hard for me because, like I said, I've never been here. And, of course, a couple of the callers, you know, called in and they said, no, Granny's a wonderful person. She doesn't need to turn heel. That's not her forte. She doesn't need to turn heel. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I was so shocked when Ray said that to me last night. I was like, oh, my God. No, but really, everybody have a great rest of the week. Stay safe. You know, be careful out there. Be good to each other. Love one another. And that's my plug for the night, Dave Atwell. So.
Well said. Well done.
I'm thinking you could do it because you could wear that and start out that way and then slide, you know, and have that shirt on over the normal Hulkster shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't have an NWO shirt, so I don't have one. So.
We can get you one. That's not a problem.
But they were, but Ray says, oh, I think she would be better to wear a New Jack shirt and Stro. He cracked me up. He says, yeah, we can start calling her Granny Jack. Granny Jack, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know. I'm like, come on, guys. You guys are crazy. So I don't know, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Outstanding. So, Tim, talk to me. What you got going on out there that's good news, bro?
Good news. spring is a few weeks away. best good news I got is hopefully we're going to have some warmer weather in a few weeks. No, one thing I wanted to point out earlier, just kind of a little funny thing, like I wanted to reach out and see if anybody else has seen this. I thought it was quite comical myself. And I think I first saw it a few months ago when all this pandemic stuff was really big. You know, I mean, the sports had basically just shut down. They had nothing else to do but show, like, old football games or any games on. There was nothing going on. And lo and behold, what do I find on ESPN? And it really should give every out-of-shape middle-aged man some hope that it's potentially a sport that's going to be up and coming. It was cornhole. They had like this. These kids were into it. And it was, there were college teams. And I swore I was watching Saturday Night Live or something. But man, they were going at it. They were serious about it. But it was just something I wanted to say earlier. But no, I don't really have much else to say. I do, as much as I complain about shoveling, it is kind of cool to have the snow around. One of the things I always say, if it's going to be this cold, freaking snow, at least have me something to look at, you know, on the ground. It's fun to go out and watch the dogs run around, throw snow at them. You know, it's fun messing with all that. So we're like I said, planning on getting a couple more inches. We'll warm up here eventually. But until then, everybody stay warm, stay safe, as Todd would say, and I'll just kick it over to somebody else.
I had to laugh yesterday. I was looking out my window in my computer room, and there was a squirrel. He was running around in the drifts of snow, and he'd pop up out of the snowdrift, and he'd pop his head down, and then he'd pop his head up, and there was a couple times he had snow all over his face and his little nose, and he stood there one time and shook his little head just to get the snow off all of his face. I thought that was just funny. This little squirrel was just popping up and down. He looked like a jack-in-the-box, you know, popping up and down in the snowdrift.
Got to suck to dig through a damn foot of snow to get your nut, you know what I mean? So, but that's why he's got to pack that tree full in the fall, baby.
Yep.
Got to fill that thing up. So, Velvet, hit me up. Give me some news.
Yo, I'll hit you up. My number is 555. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong shot. We'll do that later. hey, Tim, I'm going to help you out. I just got some shotgun shells. I say we roll over to Pennsylvania and we take care of a little animal that likes to see his shadow every now and again. Let me take care of it this time. Yeah. Just saying. No, everything's good, man. I'm still looking for a guest for pro wrestling interviews. It's now at a new time at 9 o'clock on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't have a guest this week because I had some cancellations. But next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend, I'm going to have a guy who was in the greatest era of professional wrestling. He started in 1978 and retired in 1994. His name is Rick McCord. He's won regional titles, and he also won World Tag Team Championships with Thunderbolt Patterson. He's also wrestled against some of the greats in the business, Flair. He wrestled with Wahoo in the tag, just to name a few. And then he wrestled Randy Savage probably a dozen times. So if you want to see something funny, though, just put in Rick McCord. It's two C's. Rick McCord, and the first one that should pop up is actually it's Velvet's personality. It's the exotic Adrian Street against Rick McCord. It is a classic match. It's funny. Just the opening spot and a couple of things he does after that is great. Other than that, everything else is kosher, you know, good to go. And like everybody else says, hey, if you can't beat your kids, you know, let somebody else do it, and everybody else have a great week.
Oh, Velvet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was on mute. I was actually talking to you. Oh, my bad.
Oh, Lord.
Come on, Todd. I wasn't talking
Todd.
Blah, blah, blah sports.
Boy, close us out with some good news, man.
No, Yorkie's here driving me nuts asking for attention. We got that going on. He's doing that silly little dog cock his head thing, look at me, and he's actually begging for, and I got to spell it because if I say the word, he bloody well knows it, T-R-E-A-T. And, nope, he'd get to eat your own food this time in your own bowl. Funny thing is, every time he comes here, he'll eat the cat food, but this time son and daughter-in-law made sure they brought plenty of his food, so the cats have been eating his food. It's like they're getting revenge. I think it's pretty funny. They are. They're working on his show. In fact, I got to add a little more to his bowl because, like I said, the cats, they've been working his chow over. So I think it's pretty funny that they're doing that. But, yeah, I got, you know, grandkids just working, trying to get stuff done and get through the things one day at a time, team. And you know how it is. Try not to take the bad days out. People that don't have it coming at them. Got to roll with the punches sometimes. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves, because if you don't take care of yourselves, you can't take care of your family. And take care of your family and take care of one another. That's the way it works.
Very true.
Yeah, most definitely. So show. Good to hear you've got the grand dogs and grandcats with you, though, because I'm sure they're plenty of entertainment. Lord knows I get enough entertainment out of three I got, so I can imagine. And I don't have a mixed bunch like you do. I've got three dogs. I don't know about introducing a cat to this crowd.
Well, you know, guys, I had a rat terrier for my husband and I. We had a rat terrier for several years. Roscoe was, I guess, almost 11 when he passed in 2016. But you know that country song, Good Direction, about the sweet tea?
Oh, yeah.
You know which song I'm talking about? Well, I kid you not, that dog could be in the living room, and he would hear that song come on the radio. He would run to the bedroom. He would sit on the bed, look at the radio, and he would do the head tilt thing a couple of times, and then he would, howl. I don't know if he was trying to sing with the radio or if he didn't like the tune, but every single time Roscoe heard that song, he would run to the radio. So when we had to have him put to sleep because his liver functions got really elevated and his little body was trying to shut down, and I didn't want him to suffer anymore, so we had him put to sleep. It just crushed me and my husband's heart. I called one of our local radio stations because I knew the DJ really well, and I said, "Hey, Stack," I said, "I've got kind of an odd request," and he's like, "Uh-oh," yeah, and he knows me as Granny Hulkster too, you know, because he was involved in wrestling shows and things like that, so he knows me quite well. And I told him the story about Roscoe. I said, "So in memory of Roscoe," I said, "can you play Good Direction?" And he actually did. He played it on the radio that day for me. So
that is a good tune. Billy Currington's got some good stuff. And speaking of dogs, here comes the hound right now as the rain starts to pick up. Our little rescue hound that's been our disaster dog. Actually, she's not a disaster dog. She's just a six-month-old puppy. But she is fantastic and doing well. So she's out here joining us and taking a whiz while we're doing the broadcast. So may your urine be robust and well flowed. Oh, there it is, the squat. Outstanding. Well played.
Well, we brought our basset hound in Saturday night because it was so cold. So she's been staying inside our house for the last
several nights, but she'll get to go back outside Friday when it warms up. She'll be able to go back outside to her backyard, but she's been in our house for the last several nights because it's been pretty cold. So.
Yes.
So, all that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. We've got maybe about 4 minutes left, but
wrap it up.
For me, I just want to say that, you know, my yard right now, you can't walk without it, you know, sinking up the ass in mud, and we're due up 3-4 inches of rain. And Todd, I don't know if you're starting to get a little bit of drizzle on your end, but it's starting over here.
I'm not hearing it at the moment. Normally you can hear it on the exhaust fan, and I'm not hearing anything at all.
Yeah, it's just enough to kind of cloud up your phone screen, but it's not quite there. From what I understand, after around 0-2, it's supposed to lose its mind and be biblical for the next 3 days. But we've got, you know, we've got monkey business in Washington. We've got COVID. We've got, you know, 2 foot of snow. We've got ass-deep mud and rain. But by God, it's going to get better. I don't give a damn what nobody says. There's a lot going on in the world right now. And unfortunately, we as humans have a habit of concentrating on the bad more than we do the good. But there's a lot of good going out there. And, you know, give yourself a break. You know, don't be afraid to just stop and find the good. And if you've got to take a break from certain things, I took a break from social media. And by God, it's probably one of the best things I've done. And you start kind of realizing just how much good is out there. And sometimes the bad just makes a lot more noise. So just to echo what everybody else said, take care of one another. Take care of yourself. Because if you're not at 100%, it's hard to give some away. So concentrate on the good. Be good to one another. And things are going to come around. You know, we still got a lot we can, sometimes we have a habit of overemphasizing what the problem is. And compared to a lot of places, we still got it pretty damn good out here, regardless of what we think. So, you know, try to keep things on the uptick and, you know, keep the misery to a minimum and walk away from it if you need to. There's nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely.
You interrupt me every couple minutes. But with that being said, I am going to walk into this household and give in to the British lady.
Apparently the Yorkie was listening to your dog having to go out, so now I'm having to take the Yorkie out.
Don't let the Yorkie get lost in the mud. You'll never find it.
No, here's the power what I worry about. True story, I'm paranoid at night around here because we got some big owls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People have this misconception about owls, that they're these cute little birds that wear graduation hats.
Oh, no.
That's not the case.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
They're monsters. So,
my brother.
Here I am.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm in
You'll
the warm
never hear
house.
Them coming, either.
He's in the warm house. Uh-oh, it's over, y'all.
Yeah, not far from it. We got 30 seconds left. So with all that being
all right,
said.
All right, y'all be good.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Be safe.
Liz,
take care of one another out there, people.
Absolutely. And thank you all again for joining us. And Dr. John, I hope you made it home safe, buddy. We missed you.
Yep, we missed you.
And we thank everybody for listening to Pop Culture Star. Absolutely. Take care, gang.
All right.